is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Dickney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Dickney.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the
Lord. Oh, think about that closing scene from the movie, The Notebook. You know the one? After the twists and turns of young, passionate, infatuated love, Ryan Gosling and Michelle McAdams have wrinkled into an elderly couple. And they're in a hospital room, both nearing the end, and he lies down in her bed, wraps his arms around her, interlaces his fingers with hers, and they fall asleep for good, together, dying, but still in love, still holding on to each other. Oh, we're talking about what real love looks like. And we're talking about how you would have to put it into practice in your marriage to move from barely alive to beginning to thrive. I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and we're going to dig in some more to find out what does the Bible say. If you want to be that sweet elderly couple that still love each other, what would it look like? What would you need to be doing day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year? And it's not that spectacular. Sometimes we think we need to do spectacular things. What we need to do is ordinary biblical things over and over and over. The human heart is drawn to the spectacular. God's word points us to the ordinary so often. Ordinary. Anyone that's watched that movie gets a little misty-eyed during that final scene because it meets us in our God-given longing. We all have this longing to be loved, really loved by someone, all the way to the end, especially after we don't look like we looked when we said I do on that day, when the flat six-pack ab is gone and so much else begins to fade away. Would there be real love still left? I'm here to tell you, yes. In fact, some of your best, most robust, most thirst-quenching, hunger-satisfying love only begins to set in those later years. But it's the result and the fruit of you investing in all those ordinary middle years. We all want that intimacy and companionship, and everyone wants that, but there's a reason the writer and director of that movie, The Notebook, included, think about it, they only included the honeymoon stage in the beginning of the movie, and the mature love at the end. And here's why I think they do that. It's the most obvious reason. All those years in between, guess what, are filled with nothing but ordinary commitment. And I hate to say it, but commitment, just ordinary commitment, seems pretty boring to us. We find ourselves saying, but what else? What else? What else should I be doing? Oh, listen to me. When you see the fruit of commitment, an elderly couple still in love, a thought runs through every human heart and mind. I want that. I know I want it. Vicky and I want it, and I hope you want it also. But we're going to talk about it some more. The path that leads you to that incredible, sweet ending is very, very ordinary love in the trenches, like what we see in 1 Corinthians 13. So let's talk about it some more. What is this thing called love, and what does it look like in those ordinary middle years? Well, it starts with understanding the kind of love the Bible calls us to give to each other. You realize when the Bible talks to us about love, in that Ephesians 5 passage where it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, the Apostle Paul uses the Greek word agape. He could have used eros, that sexual, erotic, I want you love. He didn't use that one. He could have used the Greek word philos, friendship, brotherly love. He used the word agape, which is the greatest kind of love the Bible talks about, because it's not based on feelings alone. Oh yes, there are feelings and affections for sure, but agape love is sturdier and stronger than what feelings can create. Feelings come, feelings go. There are credible high days and there's some really low days. Agape keeps you plodding along every day, regardless of how strong the feeling is. It's made of stronger stuff. The Greek word agape love, is a strong, non-sexual affection that is characterized by a willingness to lay aside my own rights and privileges. Isn't that so often what we go to war over? My rights, my privileges, my agenda, what I want, you getting on board with my agenda, you're in my way. Agape love is characterized by a willingness to lay aside my own rights and privileges, to give for the need of another, expecting nothing in return. And I know, I feel it too. If you're saying, I can't do that. I know you can't, and neither can I. But Jesus in you is ready to do it through you. Jesus in you is ready to do it through you. I think this kind of agape love is beautifully, I love to read. I read 40 or 50 books a year, and not all Christian books. I just love good writing. And this kind of agape love is beautifully described by a character in Louise de Bernier's novel, Coriolis Mandolin. Listen to what this character in his novel says to his son. This is an older father speaking to his adult son. He says, quote, "Love itself, son, is what is left over when being in love has burned away. And this is both an art and fortunate accident. Your mother and I had it. We had roots that grew toward each other underground. And when all the pretty blossoms had fallen from our branches, we found that we were one tree and not two." I think that is fantastic. We had roots. You hear what he's saying? We had roots that grew towards each other underground. That's what marriage is really all about. That's why the Bible talks about marriage being oneness, one flesh. One, he doesn't talk about any other relationship this way. Not mother-daughter, not father-son, not friendship, not brother or sister in Christ, not band of brothers who've done battles together, not even athletes that have won championships together. There's all kinds of feelings that are involved with those relationships, and they are special, no doubt. But God's word sets aside marriage as the only relationship that is referred to as one flesh, oneness. And that's what makes marriage special. And that's when you begin to taste real love, when your roots begin to grow towards each other underground. That takes time. Roots take time. Blossoms come and go. We see blossoms every spring, and they fall in the fall, and we head into winter, but it's roots. It's roots. In fact, as I planted some maples all along the backyard in our previous home, because I love trees that turn color. And so I planted some maples that were supposed to be burnt orange and bright red. But as I tried to keep them alive and I wanted them to, hello, thrive, not just survive, I wanted to see glorious, glorious color. As I dug into it, you know what I learned? I learned that it's actually in the fall when everything's bleak and the leaves are gone, that the roots do their most work. I was told that's when I need to feed those trees. That's when I need to drive some fertilizer into the ground around the trees, because that's when the root system really begins to grow. Guess what? That's the same thing in a marriage. It's not the flashy. It's not the amazing all-inclusive vacations you take. It's not this, that, or the other that looks colorful and spectacular. It's the steady, steady commitment of giving to the needs of another, expecting nothing in return, as you walk through ordinary, what looks like sometimes bleak and gray winter days, fall days. Every day of your marriage just cannot be summer and sunshine and springtime with color. I'm grateful for the amount that I do experience of that. But oh, it's when you lean in and you are okay. In fact, you learn to appreciate gray, fall, winter, because it doesn't mean nothing's happening. Oh, don't be fooled. You can still have roots that are growing underground towards each other, so that when all the pretty blossoms have fallen from our branches, we find that we're one tree and not two. I just turned 62. 2 days ago. And guess what? At 62, some of the pretty blossoms are falling from my branches. More than I wish. Literally, I celebrated my birthday by having 3 different doctor's appointments. I've got an appointment with a surgeon to figure out what's going on with my shoulder, why it hurts so bad when I simply reach for my coffee cup to get it. I had appointments with my regular physician to figure out what is going on with some blood work that came back looking not as great as we wish. And then I had another appointment with a dental surgeon to address a tooth that doesn't just need to be removed, but oh, he said your bone has disappeared. Just the bone has deteriorated. And now he needed to do a bone graft that we need to let grow for 3 months. And then he's going to try to do an implant. Oh, joy. I am not physically all that I was at 23 in 1986 when I stood there and said, I do. Some of the pretty blossoms are falling from each of our branches, but I'm telling you, Vicky and I have a root system today, 38 years into it, that is unlike anything we had in the early days as our roots have grown towards each other underground. As we've been steady and faithful to just do simple, ordinary, loving things like love is patient, love is kind, love is not rude. We're going to take a break and then we'll come back and we'll dig in some more to what is the difference between lasting love that will land you in that movie scene that you long for of being together after decades and still loving each other.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bickney in just a moment. You know, when we start to peel back the layers in marriage, especially if you've been at this for a while, I think one of the hardest things to do is to keep showing up with patience and with forgiveness and with love that doesn't ask, what have you done for me lately? That is a really difficult thing to do. And it sounds like something that you should be able to get right all the time. But trust me, it's not. That's why I want to point you to something that we built specifically for people just like you. It's Fortis Plus. Listen, if you're trying to love biblically in a world that pulls you in the other direction constantly, Fortis Plus is a daily dose of clarity for you. There's no noise, no algorithms. It's just real biblical wisdom from voices who've lived this stuff. You'll find new audio and video every single day, 7 pieces of fresh content added daily, and it's all free. No subscription model, no paywalls, nothing like that. Just quiet truth hitting your inbox every single day when you need it the most. You can download the app right now from the place where you download your apps to on your phone, or you can head over to fortisplus.org. And if this podcast here or Fortis Plus or anything our ministry produces has helped strengthen your home, would you consider doing something for us? We've been at this for 25 years, and that's not a brag. That's not a boast. It's just a reminder. That kind of faithfulness only lasts because of people like you. People who say, yep, I'm in. I'll give. I'll pray. I'll stand with you. We don't have sponsors. We don't take ads. This is gospel-centered, church-first ministry. And every time someone says, let's keep this going, let's partner with you, it moves the needle. And so if you have room beyond your local church giving, which of course always comes first, head over to fortisinstitute.org right now and look at what it means to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. We would be honored if you would stand with us because we will in turn stand with you. All of the information again can be found at fortisinstitute.org. And while you're there also, I talked about Fortis Plus, but I also want to encourage you to sign up to become a Fortis Insider. You can do that at fortisinstitute.org as well, because as a Fortis Insider, you don't have to rely on your memory. Again, you can find it right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Pastor Brad Bickney as he continues to unpack what love really looks like when it grows deep, not just wide. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bickney.
Oh, we're talking about oneness being roots that grow underground towards each other. That's not flashy. That's not colorful. That's not sexy. That's not spectacular. But so often the things that matter most and the direction God points us is not what the world talks about. It's not spectacular. It's not flashy, but it's oh so important and life-changing. See, the Bible talks about oneness in marriage, but feelings alone will never get you there, and they certainly will not keep you there. It's the underground roots of commitment that will get you there and keep you there, even when you hit those seasons where all the pretty blossoms and feelings have fallen from the branches. You have to have a root system that can keep love alive when pretty blossoms have fallen, when you head into a dark valley, because you will. It's not if. You think about how the Bible talks. The Bible never says, hey, if you hit a trial, if you hit some rough terrain, if you run into trouble, here's some advice. It's never worded that way. James chapter 1 literally says, when you fall into various trials, when? It's going to happen. All through the Bible, we live in a fallen, broken world. And so the question is not if, but when. And when it happens, do you know how to lean into the ordinary, sweet, simple thing called commitment? Commitment. It's not based on feelings. I made a commitment. Agape love. I am committed to doing you good, to giving towards your needs, to considering you ahead of me on days that I feel it and want to, and on days that I don't feel it and don't want to. That's what's actually going on when you see couples that have been married 40, 50, 60 years. Oh, I think we're so tempted in a day. We live in this day that we have so much information that we assume, oh, they must have done a personality test. Oh, they got it so right. They got it so right. That's why they're still together. That is never the truth. Never the truth. I love it at weddings when the DJ will stop and do this little thing where they call everyone out on the dance floor and begin to play a song and say, anybody that's married less than 5 years, get off the dance floor. Less than 10 years, less than 20, less than, and we're down to one sweet, hunched up little old couple. And then he says to them with a microphone, any advice for this young couple and the crowd tonight? If I've heard it once, I've heard it dozens and dozens of times. Just keep forgiving each other. Be kind. Stay committed. These are the ordinary, simple things. But those ordinary, simple things are actually not easy to do. In some ways, it's easier to do an occasional spectacular thing than it is to wake up every day and give your spouse what seems like ordinary vanilla, but oh, it's what leads towards that sweet, sweet place of mature love. Commitment, doing you good. I propose to you that the root system is commitment that keeps love alive even while the feelings fluctuate up and down. Think again about the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And right at the top of the list, if you've been listening to the show for several weeks now, you've heard me read it so many times, maybe you would know what it starts with. Do you remember what it starts with? 1 Corinthians 13, 4, what's he head the list up with? Love is patient. That doesn't sound that spectacular, does it? But oh, what does it mean that love is patient? Well, I think we could get a hold of it, and we should get a hold of it, because when you ask the Apostle Paul to explain agape love, first thing out of his mouth is, oh, you want to understand agape love? Love is patient. Forget the rest of his list for a moment, because my work is already cut out for me, because I am so prone to being impatient. I want what I want when I want it. I don't want to wait on my spouse to grow. I want them. So many of us, if we were honest, would say, I'm looking for the fully sanctified switch to throw it on my spouse. I need you to grow up. I need you to stop that like now. I need you to. And that's just not reality. Oh, when we bring to our marriage agape love that is willing to wait for God to work, love is patient. Love is patient. And if you think about it, you say, well, I'm not very patient. Okay. If you've put your trust in Christ and Jesus lives in you, the Spirit of the resurrected Jesus Christ lives in you, guess what the fruit of the Spirit is? Oh, love is patient, and the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is patience. One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience, and He lives in you. So you may not have it, but He's happy to cultivate it in you. He's happy to begin to grow patience in you in a way that you never had before. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, gentleness, self-control. That Spirit of Jesus Christ lives in each one of us who have put our trust in Him, and He would love to begin to start a brand new vineyard with a new fruit that maybe you didn't have much or any of. Patience. Patience that will make all the difference in your marriage. And so love is patient because patience is a dying to self, a dying to selfishness. It's the belief that dying, in my dying to self, I will find greater joy than if I held on to my own life and demanded my rights. And there are really no loopholes here. He begins with patience, and it requires faith to believe that God's at work. And it requires humility to set aside your sense of arrogance that you have an agenda, and that agenda needs to be accomplished, like, quickly. You need to help me get this. Patience. Love is and love is patient, again, because we said love is found in a person, Jesus Christ. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the King of patience. You track with Him in the Gospels, and you see Him being abused and people reviling Him and railing against Him. And it says He opened not His mouth. And you need to understand that this Greek word being used there for patient, love is patient, is the word macrothumia. They actually had two different words for patience. One had to do with patience in circumstances that are hard. And that was the word hupomeno, that meant to stand up under something and not crumble. They had an altogether different word for patience with people, because that's what we struggle with the most. People. It was the word macrothumia. Where we get our word, think about it. Macro means big, big. And thumos meant long-tempered. You've got a long fuse. You do not go off on someone quickly. Macrothumia. Patience with people. Love is patient. Think about it. Of everything you think you're doing right in your marriage, consider for a moment, how patient are you with your spouse? How much long-suffering do you bring into the home, in real time, in the trenches when you live bumping up against each other? Love is patient, which means it endures. It doesn't quickly give up, and it does not retaliate and lash out. It practices long suffering or being long tempered, because that's part of agape love. It's the patience spoken of in the New Testament as a virtue. And here's what's interesting. If you think this sounds radical, it always has been radical. In fact, in the day that the New Testament was being written, in that Greek world, this idea of agape, self-sacrificing love, and non-avenging patience was actually considered by the Greek culture weakness, unworthy of the noble man or woman. They actually considered this unworthy. I don't want to be patient, and I don't want to practice self-sacrificing love. So again, the Bible brings a radically different view to what matters most. Aristotle, a name you probably know, for example, taught that the Greek virtue was refusal to tolerate insult or injury and to strike back in retaliation for the slightest offense. Aristotle taught that that was a virtue, not tolerate insult, not tolerate injury, and to strike back at the slightest offense, because in their minds, vengeance was a virtue. Oh, the world has always made heroes out of those who fight back, who stand up for their rights. But real love, agape love, is not focused on itself. And it begins with love is patient, long-suffering, does not retaliate. Only God can give us this kind of love. And when he gives it to you through his son, Jesus, he expects it to flow through you to your spouse. And that will take your marriage to a new place, put it on a new path, moving towards thriving instead of just surviving.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.